Blade and Mickey 104.5, the zone hour number two is locked and loaded and ready to rock and roll. We'll get you going up until 3 o'clock today, and then 3HL takes over with Brent and Babs and Mr. Ron Slay. It is NFL schedule release day, so I don't know if you got a big party planned at your house tonight. Maybe you're going to have people over and cook some chicken wings people on the grill. I don't know.
Well, ribs sound good right now, man. My wife's not having no ribs up in here, man, so I think I'm going to go get some ribs and have it for dinner, and she's going to be really upset again. So I'm going to get my blanket and my pillow out already.
Where's your go-to rib place? Let's just get something out there. Where do you go?
Oh, well, you know, I would, yeah, you know.
No free shout outs.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much anywhere. It doesn't matter. They ribs, you know, there's places all over. Yeah.
Man, I got a neighbor across the street. He's one of those guys that can just do anything. Like, if you need some odd tool, you're like, man, I need a metric wrench. They only made 37 of them. He's like, I've got one of those. He's one of those guys.
Oh.
That dude will sometimes see me, and he'll wave me over and go, hey, man, come over here. I got something for you. He makes ribs about every 6 months, and oh, my gosh, they are so good.
I got a guy like that, too. That's what he does on the weekends, you know, every weekend. He always sends me, so I might go to him, you know. That's my state farm insurance guy. He's that guy.
He's going to keep your policy if he keeps bringing you those ribs.
Oh, yeah, man. He's on point, man. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. NFL schedule gets released tonight. So here's the deal. 3HL ends, and then what? Lucas Panzeca and Will Bolick have the pregame show. This is how big the NFL is.
What?
We're doing a schedule release show. We're doing a show before the show. Lucas Panzeca and Will Bolick are going to go on because there's been some leaked
That's
stuff.
We can Lucas tell you. Is dressed up today.
He's wore got a collared shirt on. Yeah.
Thanks for noticing, man. Blaine.
Yeah, man. I pay attention to the details, man.
Lucas, this is a guy that we were on a road trip once to Baltimore. I guess this was for Army-Navy game.
Yeah.
And Blaine's like, what's wrong with your right foot? And I said, what? He goes, what's wrong with your right foot? Like right down near the front of your foot. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I'm watching you walk. There's something wrong with you. This guy doesn't miss anything. Nothing.
Yeah, I'm always watching feet, you know, especially if you read those transactions in the injury reports, you know, usually when you're taking a dump, you know, you're using, you know, at the facility, you know, you're really reading, the magazine or articles that's been written all week. And then you look at the injury report and I'm like, oh, man, T.O. has a hurt ankle, man. If I just twist a little bit when I get up and act like it was an accident. You know, you never know. It may help me in the long run. It may give me that half a step that I need. When he's chasing after one of those deep balls, I can make a play. I always look for that, man. I've read those things up and down. I knew everything. Oh, he got a knee? Man, I know how it is when you – I try to – nope, I'm nothing. What's wrong with you, Blaine? Nothing. Nothing. I'd be in the training room all week. Like, I got an injury. But I'm like, no, nah, nothing wrong with me, man. I'd have machines all connected to my whole body. They would laugh. I thought, then what's wrong with you? I said, oh, no, I'm just in here relaxing, man, just shooting the crap with the guys. I could talk through the window.
Who was the most physical receiver you played against? Like, the most physical guy?
Oh, man.
I know Hines Ward was physical because he liked to try to hit you.
Yeah, I would say him. It was because he was a great blocker. He really was. You had to respect it. When you're watching film, you go, dang, he just annihilated Rod Woodson. Or he got Ed Reed. You go, uh-oh. You better be on the lookout and have your head on a swivel. I mean, even if the play went away and it's kind of almost getting tackled, he got me one time and I was so mad. Yeah, I was so mad because I was mad at myself for relaxing, thinking, well, the guy's almost falling down. Then he going to hit me late. And I, next thing you know, I'm depleted on the ground, and he laughing. Oh, I was lit, as the new term for the youngsters are. I was lit. Well, I'm talking about lit like fish grease lit. It wasn't going away. It was not going away. Oh my God, I was so perturbed. Because there's a lot of it is because saying, I don't want to watch that the next day because I should have known better. I'm throttling down. Then he going to laugh. Oh, sucker.
You never got him back either, did you?
Not the way I wanted to. I got him in his ribs. I got him in his ribs, but then that was the next year. That's why Dice talks about when people, you never forget. Because you sit there staring like, dang it, I don't want to get a penalty. And I was real close to getting a penalty when I speared him in his ribs. And he laughed when he got up there because he said, ah, you thought you was going to declare, you thought you was going to get a headshot on me. He went down. He went down immediately.
Oh.
And so I still hit him. And then I was like, oh, my bad. Excuse me. And I was like, to the ref. I said, God, please don't give me a penalty. That's why you got to go. You got to read the press releases and the books before the game, players. Know the referees' names, how many kids they got. I'm like, hey, man, how your kids doing? Dude, I did it all, man. I had all kind of tricks up my sleeve. You want them to feel like they know you because I felt like I knew them, at least as long as they didn't give me the call. And then you eventually do know them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, man. There's a lot of tricks. They let you by. Hey, blah, blah, you got to keep your hands down now, man. I'm, you know, you're lucky they ain't throw over here. I was like, hey, my bad. Thanks for looking out. Yeah, so when I speared him, I jumped up like, that was just a regular hit. He went down first. So I wouldn't have hit him right there.
Right. It's his fault.
Meanwhile, when I was coming in like a bat out of you know what, I knew what I was doing. Oh, man. That I mean, people as athletes, a competitive nature. And it, you know what's so bad? When I finished, I was playing basketball and I felt it coming back, that competitive nature. I'm going to beat you. Then I said, I got to turn this off. This is not normal.
Oh,
this is not the normal competition. Like, oh, let's go to the Y and play basketball. Mm-mm.
No, you're out there turning into the Hulk.
So I had to just like tell myself, I'm just going out here to get shape, you know, so I can stay in decent shape. Then it became easier. But boy, because, you know, they thinking, oh, I'm 35-year-old Blaine. They like, I'm beating Blaine Bishop, man, to play for the Titans. Like, dang, this dude's going really hard against me. He finished the game. I put up 25 on you. Uh-oh. Dun. Hey, man, let's check it up, man. Let's go run another one. Let's go in another. I turned into uh-oh. Then I walk out of there. Then I get out of my car. By the time I get home, I'm limping. Oh, my knees swollen, my ankles swollen, my back hurt. I'm like, oh man, why did I do that? I'm not doing that ever again. I won that next game and I dropped 30 on them.
And you retired from competitive wide basketball.
Again. I gotta just leave it at home. It's over. It's over. I'm not competing like that again. My body cannot do it.
That was you mentioned dice. That was like we were doing a Titans pregame.
It came out of nowhere, didn't it?
We were talking about getting God. I mean, he's the most beloved figure in, you know, education in Middle Tennessee. And he goes, oh, a guy got me in college. He said, I got him like 6 years later in the pros. He said, yep. That guy looked at me like, what was that about? And he goes, you know, that was for the September 30th, you know, 1996 or whatever it was. Yeah. The guy was like, oh, okay. Like, he remembered too.
Yeah, man, it never leaves you. It never leaves you. You pay back. You're like, oh, because you know what you have to come to realization is everybody's really good, even the Hall of Fame guys, and they're going to get got. You know, there's no way around it. Whether you get beat for a touchdown as a DB, or you get blocked by a receiver, or ear holds you, or hits you in the ribs. I can only Hines Ward got me, and then Isaac Bruce got me on a blind side.
Oh,
yeah, he didn't cleat me because he had a weight behind it.
Right.
But he got me dead in my ribs. And I thought I lost probably about 5 breaths. And luckily for us, we stopped him. But I was so focused on Marshall Faulk and all this new game plan we had. I knew the play and the formation, and everything. And I was like, I'm going to get him. And bow, I went to the sideline. I was gasping for air. I was, oh, man, it brought tears to my eyes. I'm not even gonna lie. And I looked at him and says, I'm gonna get you. Cause I had to go to one knee. Like, oh. I think he broke one of my ribs.
Did you get him back?
Nah, not the way I wanted to. Not nothing worth, you know. He kind of be like, it was kind of bad because he kind of after the game was like, hey man, you all right? He said, you didn't see me, did you? I said, nope. I said, I'm going to get you, though. But, you know, he was in the NFC, so it was hard to, like, ever get him back.
Right.
Yeah. And then he always usually was outside the number. So he never really counted in that mix. I never saw him do that. But maybe one other time. So, yeah, he got me. I don't think I ever really got him back.
Someday he's not going to be looking. You just got to truck him at like a, you know, convention or something like that. We'll see him at the Super Bowl. You can just take him out.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, he got inducted to the Hall of Fame. We joked about it when I had him on there. Was I on 3HL at that time? No, he just got inducted a couple years ago. So, yeah, that's first thing he said. You remember the time I got? Yeah. So it's always fun, good in competition. Yeah.
Well, he was such a good player, too. Gosh, he was good.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a really good player.
He was fast. I always wanted him to have a strained hamstring every time we played him. I'm like, he won't be that elite speed. He'll just be fast. I can't deal with elite. Elite speed. And that's a whole nother level. That's on that, you know, Samari Rowe freak level. That's not in my range.
We got to get out of our range here. First segment is over. Titans schedule again released tonight. The one thing that's out, everybody's week one opponent, the Titans get the Cardinals. So old friend J.J. Watt. Malcolm Butler gets to come back. So there's always great storylines with every NFL game. Yeah, we can talk about that some more on the other side. And we'll be joined by Justin Mello, draft expert, to talk about these new Titans. They're going to hit the field at rookie minicamp coming up this weekend. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Michael Jackson with Lucas Panzeca. Boy, this was goat on goat. Eddie Van Halen with the solo and beat it. Lord rest his soul. And MJ. A lot of people don't know this, too. If you've ever heard of the band Toto, those guys basically were Michael Jackson's studio band. So if you like Toto, they're all over that, too. It's your rock trivia for today. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Buddy Justin Mello joins us now from Broadway Sports, as well as the Draft Network and other great draft resources. Justin, it is schedule release day. Happy schedule release day to you. How about a league turning a holiday basically into – this is when the Packers are going to play the Bears.
Yeah, this is why the NFL is king. You know, they make a big deal out of everything, and let's be honest, we eat it all up. We eat this up. Schedule release day, revealing uniforms on Broadway. Remember the Titans did that and how many people showed up for that? Yep. So the NFL is king for a reason.
Yeah, I think that uniform reveal, along with how the Preds did and what the city looked like during the Stanley Cup final, was what brought the NFL draft here, because they thought this many people show up to watch a uniform. This many people will show up for hockey playoffs. Okay, we need to be there, and the rest is history on that. The draft is also history. Justin, we'd had you on maybe the day of the first round or the day before, and just on the way out, because we like doing this, we said, what's your dream scenario? And you outlined this whole thing about Caleb Farley. Well, son of a gun, your dream came true. Number one draft pick, a top 10 value, but some medical questions. No questions about this guy on the field, though, that I've seen. Caleb Farley goes at number one to the Titans.
Yeah, you're making me look smart. I'm glad I called that out last time I was here. This is a terrific talent. You know, it's easy to see why they targeted him. I thought they needed to go into this draft and come out with a really good cornerback. You know, they kind of revamped that room, getting rid of Malcolm Butler, getting rid of Adoree Jackson, saying goodbye to Desmond King in free agency. They needed to go out there and get a corner, and they sure did that in Caleb Farley, a guy that can come in and play right away, a terrific talent. You know, everything that you look for, the ball skills, the size, the athletic ability. I spoke with his cornerbacks coach at Virginia Tech recently, Brian Mitchell. I connected with Coach Mitchell and did a story on Farley, and he talked about it. You know, he came there as a wide receiver. He goes, look, the kid was a blank slate. We didn't know where to start. It was just teaching basic fundamental technique, things that a D1 corner should already know. And that's how we started 2018. It was clean slate. But you look at the progress he made that year, he didn't make a ton of plays, but you saw it starting to come together. You go over to 2019, and he was one of the best corners in the nation. And Coach Mitchell said it. All of a sudden, it wasn't about teaching the fundamentals. He knew what he was doing out there. He made plays. If he had tested throughout this process, it was unfortunate that the injury robbed us of that. He would have ran in potentially in the high 4.2s, low 4.3s. That's the kind of athlete he is. And at his size, I mean, 6'2", 200 pounds, it's terrific. So they got a blue-chip player here. But you said it. The caveat is, you know, is he healthy?
Talking to Justin Mello, draft expert for Broadway Sports, Draft Network, and more.
Well, Justin, I guess, what did you think about in totality, just the whole draft? And did they do a little too much, giving up too much equity
and getting moving up to get Des Fitzpatrick as well as Monty Rice. I thought, you know, they might have could be a really good player, but might have been available even later there with the third round.
Yeah, I thought, you know, moving up to get Monty, or sorry, moving back really to and getting Monty. They were at 85. They traded back to 92 and selected him. That was probably the surprise for me of the entire draft in terms of what they did. I wasn't shocked that they went tackle in the second round and they got a receiver a little later than everyone expected them to. But that's where the surprise is. Linebacker at 92 overall. You know, you look at the roster, the way it's constructed now, you've got Jayon Brown still in the mix. You've got Rashawn Evans probably penciled in as your two starters. You still have David Long Jr., right? He's played really well when he's gotten a chance to show what, you know, his ability. Did they need to go linebacker in this draft? You know, probably not, is my honest evaluation. But I think that's a pick where we may look back on in 2022 and we may see the value there. We may not be scratching our head as much. Again, Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, 1 year contracts effectively. They're entering contract years here in 2021. I don't think those guys will be back in 2022. They just declined the 5th-year option on Evans. And Brown wouldn't be back if he wasn't met with a bit of a soft free agent market, right? This past summer, he comes back on a 1-year, $5 million deal because of the injury that he's coming off. So Monty Rice might be a guy that starts for them in 2022, and we may grow to like that pick a lot more than we do now. I think where it gets interesting is, were they in a position where they could afford to address a 2022 need when they have some 2021 needs that they had, you know, had not yet addressed, especially at receiver? That's where, you know, that question comes into play for me.
Outside of off the field, I thought they got a steal on Rashad Weaver as far as his pass rush ability. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was shocked that Weaver went where he did. And I don't know if that's because of the off-field issue. And they've got a lot to digest there. You know, the brass does. It seems like they're going to wait it out before they make a move, or else you think they probably would have released them already if they were going to do that. But a terrific talent on tape, a guy that I thought was a top 100 player who played at the University of Pittsburgh. And there's a reason, and I spoke with Weaver about this during the pre-draft process. There's a reason they sent a bunch of guys to the NFL in this draft. The way that they were coached in that defense there, Jalen Twyman, Paris Ford, Patrick Jones, another edge rusher that Titans fans were excited about. He's been well coached. He's been productive throughout his career, Rashad Weaver has. And I think that's, based on pure talent and the tape, I agree with you, Blaine. That's a terrific pick to get him where they got him.
Now, naturally, it's an NFL schedule and everything else. But from what you know now, man, let's just talk about the first game matchup. I think everybody knows they're playing Arizona here. Talk about that matchup. And I think the Titans are favored by 2. I don't know how they always come up with that stuff, but that's why they have those big buildings out there in Vegas. But, man, J.J. Watt, Malcolm Butler, A.J. Brown, you know, Hopkins, man, it's going to be a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. And betting never sleeps, right? I saw that as well. The line's about 2.5 right now, I think, in Tennessee's favor. It's an interesting week one matchup. And I wrote about this earlier today. It's interesting because it's not a familiar opponent, obviously, being the Cardinals. They only see them once every 4 years. But at the same time, when the Titans line up and they look at Arizona, they're going to see DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to see J.J. Watt. And they're going to see Malcolm Butler, three guys that they know very well. It's a great test for the defense right out the gate. I'll say that for a new look.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Didn't Rondell Moore go there too, or no?
A.J. Green is there.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about the kid from Purdue. Did they draft him?
They drafted Rondale Moore. Yes, they did. That's correct. And they drafted Zaven Collins in the first round, a linebacker that the Titans did their homework on. We saw John Robinson strap on the pads and work him out at the Tulsa Pro Day. So they'll know him well also, and they'll get to see him in his NFL debut. But to me, what I take away from this matchup is it's a great test right out the gate for a new look defense. How do they match up against DeAndre Hopkins, arguably the best receiver in the NFL? Do they decide to follow him around? And if so, who does it? Is it Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins? Is it Christian Fulton? Are you throwing Farley out there on day one and asking him to cover DeAndre Hopkins? So I'm really excited to see how that plays out.
Going with Justin Mello at Draft Network, draft expert.
Justin, digging back into the Titans draft a little bit, Dylan Radins, you know, we're talking about who might or might not start or be a factor in that game against Arizona. What do you think his role might be? Because I know we've talked to Coach Mack about him, and, you know, he's high on the guy. He seems like a swing guy, and that's how you stay active if you're a backup offensive lineman. You think he could even possibly swing into the starting lineup by then?
Yeah, I absolutely think that he can. It's going to be a battle, and I don't think they're going to hand him anything. They went out and got Kendall Lamb in free agency. They brought back Tyson Braylow as well. So I think there should be a bit of an open competition there at right tackle, and that's how they should play it. It should be a fair battle between three talented players. When you look at Radins, I mean, this is a guy that grew up in Becker, Minnesota, you know, 46 miles northwest of Minneapolis, a population less than 5,000 people. You know, he loses his father at a young age. I believe he was 12 years old. And his father, he moved the family to Becker so that they could play football. It's a small town, but it's a big football town. And Dylan will tell you himself, he, you know, football raised him. It's what he turned to when he lost his father. It's how he coped. When I look at the fit here, I absolutely love it. I know a lot of Titans fans were, you know, clamoring for a receiver at that pick. And it feels like every fan's always disappointed when it's O-line, right? It's not the sexy choice. It doesn't get people super excited. But this is, you know, they needed a right tackle. They needed a long-term guy. When you look at what they do offensively, the scheme that they run, how they run the ball, that outside zone scheme, what do they ask of their linemen? They ask them to be athletic. They ask him to move well laterally, and they, you know, they demand him to get a hat on a hat. And you look at Radins and the way that he tested a three cone time of 7.26 at his size, 6'5", 300 pounds, a 32 inch vertical, a broad jump greater than 9 feet, the 40 yard dash he ran in a respectable time. I believe it was a 5.16. I mean, this is an athlete, and he fits the mold of what they do offensively. He's going to gel well there. Taylor Lewan, Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, Nate Jones. This kid is a dude, and they really got a good one at right tackle. I really believe that.
Justin, you're so popular, we've got a caller. You know, we always tell people the phone lines are always open, 615-737-1045. But Tommy from Nashville called in specifically to ask you a draft question. So, Tommy, welcome to Blaine and Mickey, and say hey to Justin Mello.
Thanks. Hello, Justin. You know, I'm a little biased, but and of course, I don't know how Trey Smith graded out, and I do understand he's got medical problems, but I just find it hard to believe that this tackle from North Dakota State is four rounds better than Trey Smith, and we could have got a receiver in round two and still possibly got Trey Smith. I know Trey Smith is projected as a guard, but I just find it hard to believe that this guy from North Dakota State is going to be that much better, and we could have got a receiver and what I think a very good college lineman that, you know, excelled every time he went out on the field at Tennessee. So I'm a little bit disappointed with us taking a lineman in round two instead of maybe even getting Trey Smith in round six. I'll see what you have to say about that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Tommy, and I appreciate the question. I think you kind of said it there. The medical on Trey Smith was awfully concerning. You know, the blood clot issue that he's had. You've heard some things about the knees there. Dylan Radins, I'm a fan of the pick, and I understand your argument. There are lots of Titans fans that feel exactly how you feel, that they could have maybe gotten a receiver there. But look, John Robinson thinks tackle's a premium position, and he's proven it with his actions, right? He went out and drafted Jack Conklin in his first draft. Tried, you know, Isaiah Wilson last season, traded for Dennis Kelly. So it's a premium position. They needed one. I don't think they were quite good enough with what they had, and they certainly didn't have a long-term answer at the position. I think you might be able to get by with a Kendall Lamb or a Tyson Braylow for a year, but they didn't have a long-term answer. Dylan Radins is that kind of guy. I know North Dakota State is a small school. They don't get a ton of attention. He didn't play a ton. You know, he didn't play really in 2020. He only played in one game due to the impact that the pandemic had on his season. But this is a guy who went down to the Senior Bowl, and he didn't miss a beat, in my opinion. He was terrific out there. In fact, after that first practice, you know, he told me he pulled out his phone and texted his agent and said, man, that was fun. This is a football guy through and through. And I picture that he vibed really well with John Robinson. Mike Vrabel, they get along with him. He loves to play ball. And look where Trey Smith ended up, you know, sixth round to the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that can afford to take that risk, especially on day three. So it doesn't surprise me, unfortunately, to see that Trey Smith landed where he did. You know, I know he's a local guy and we all love him, but the medical was very concerning there.
Justin Mello on with us talking all things NFL draft here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, I know we're talking about draft, Justin, but naturally the hot topic really yesterday and today, still today a little bit, and that's Tim Tebow. I guess I'm going to get your thoughts on Tim Tebow going to the Jaguars and how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't understand it. You know, for a guy that hasn't played in the league, I believe it's been 8 years to switch positions now to tight end. I really don't know where it comes from. And I've seen a lot of people say that, well, it's a locker room addition. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure Tim Tebow is a terrific person, and I'm sure he's a great guy. But to sit here and say that the locker room is going to love to have him because he's a good person, I'm not so convinced that that's how they're going to feel. When people are out there battling for a job and they see a guy there that hasn't played in the league in 8 seasons, I mean, you know, there are guys sitting at home you'd have to feel that are certainly more deserving of a shot at this point in time than Tim Tebow is. So you can't help but wonder if the relationship with Urban Meyer played a factor there. We know how close they are. And then once you get into that space, you start asking, well, is that fair? You know, did that play a role in bringing Tim Tebow here? Does this move improve our team? Or did we do this because we like the guy? So I'm very curious to see how that plays out. And I'm even more curious to see if he actually makes the 53-man roster.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're on with Justin Mello, with our draft expert at Draft Network. I guess the schedule release is coming up naturally tonight, this evening. And we already know the opponents and, you know, pretty much know almost the whole schedule now. Since we're, you know, friends with Vegas, and I know you are, I guess kind of give us a stab at, you know, looking at the schedule without knowing how players are going to progress, who's going to be injured or not. What's the over-under on wins and losses?
Yeah, well, the Titans won 11 games last season, and now you're playing an extra game this year on the schedule. So you'd have to think they'd be disappointed with anything under 10. Right, you have to think the bare minimum has to be 10 wins here. They'd like to get into that 11-12 range. Is it going to be a fascinating season? And I'm very curious to see how the Titans take the field, because I don't remember the last time. They're going to look very different. They're going to look different on offense without Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and Adam Humphries. And they're going to look different, very different on defense, right? Even more so with all these additions, your Dina Coatries, your Bud Dupree's, your Caleb Farley's, your Elijah Molden's, even a guy that I'm very high on as well, that they drafted. I thought was one of the best picks in the entire draft, by the way, by any team. From a value perspective. So they're going to look very different next year, and it'll be interesting to see what the expectations are, but you'd have to think, coming off a division title, coming off an 11-win season, they've got to get back to that 10 to 13 win range.
Yeah. Well, 10 to 13 is what you're thinking. That's a broad range there, man. That's it.
I don't know that they accept any less than 10. I'll say that, right? If they win under 10 games, you'd have to think that they're disappointed, that Mike Vrabel's disappointed, the fan base will be disappointed. 9 wins is completely unacceptable. I'll say that, you know, coming off the season that they had.
No doubt about it. We're on with Justin Mello with Draft Network, you know, here helping us out with the draft. I guess lastly, talk a little bit about, you know, maybe the 2 6-round picks, McMath and Breeze, who, you know, a lot of people probably won't talk about, but could be heavy contributors, not just on special teams, but even in those special packages when you go 4 and 5 wides, maybe, or on a dime package with the safety.
Yeah, with Brady Breeze out of Oregon, I think he'll mainly play a role on special teams. I think he has the potential to be a really good gunner. And let's not underestimate the fact they lost a lot of those guys, right? Special teams, we know John Robinson values it. Chris Milton, a DB last year that was a great gunner for them, he's gone. Joshua Kalu is no longer in the picture. They haven't re-signed a couple of linebackers that played special teams for them last year, right? Guys like Darren Bates and Will Compton, a couple of fan favorites are still out there. They haven't been brought back. They needed to, you know, to really fill up the cupboard again when it comes to special teams players. Brady Breeze is that kind of guy. I think he's going to be really good at it. They lost Kenny Vaccaro, right, in free agency, or they cut Kenny Vaccaro, really. So they've shuffled up that safety depth chart a little bit. Everyone's moving up. Amani Hooker is moving up into the starting role. You figure Dane Cruikshank probably takes over the Amani Hooker role, being that third safety, potentially. So Brady Breeze steps in. He's got a chance to get on the field, but more so on special teams. McMath out of LSU, this is a toolsy guy, right? He hasn't put it all together yet, but the testing is phenomenal. He's got some speed. Can he play wide receiver at a high level in the NFL? That's yet to be seen. He was stuck behind a lot of good receivers at LSU. He played behind the Jamar Chases, the Justin Jeffersons, and other weapons, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire, guys that they use in the passing game, Thaddeus Moss, when they had him there at tight end. The receiver that just got drafted by Carolina, a lot of Titans fans wanted there in the second round, right? So he hasn't had a chance to get on the field maybe as much as he would have liked, but there are some tools there. The speed is there. I think he'll play special teams. And it's a 6th-round pick, right? It's a dart throw, really. So When you got the speed that he has, why not take a chance and see if he can develop into a true NFL receiver?
Justin Mello, hey, on the way out, got about 30 seconds left. How surprised and or distressed were you by the not drafting a tight end? That really seemed to upset a lot of people.
It certainly was a surprise. I think they would have liked a guy like Hunter Long, who went right in the third round, right before they came up on the clock at 85th, and then they traded out of that pick. Let's keep in mind. So maybe that's a guy that they wanted. It certainly says a lot about what they think of Anthony Firkser and Jeff Swaim. And they've brought in a couple of UDFAs. Look out for Briley Moore out of Kansas State. Thinks a guy that has a chance to make this team. And Miller Forrestall out of Alabama, who I just got off the phone with before this, is driving up to Nashville right now, is a UDFA tight end that they brought in as well.
Yeah, I can see some Briley Parkway endorsements already with him if things work out. Justin, thank you, man. Great stuff. At JustinM_NFL. People can follow you there. And here's the thing. You got all these interviews with draft prospects. People can still go get to know all of them because you interviewed seemingly all of them, and all that is available with your content. Thank you, man.
Pleasure was all mine.
Yes, sir. Justin Mello. When we come back, there are some Titans games that have been leaked out. I'll tell you what I know so far. Maybe Lucas has found a couple more leaks. We'll see. We'll tell you everything we've seen that's out there today. Big schedule release tonight. We got it all covered. They'll be talking about it on 3HL, Lucas and Will, and then the Titans radio crew, because nobody covers the NFL schedule release like 104.5 The Zone. Oh, man. Yeah. Laid back with our mind on the schedule release and schedule release on our mind. Blaine and Mickey, yeah. You know what time it is. It's time to talk about schedule leaks. Yeah, big leaks, gushing leaks of schedule news on the quiet storm, Blaine and Mickey.
You're towing some type of FCC liner.
Man. Who was that, man? We had a new guy on here that's hosting the show. That guy doesn't exist anymore.
Instead of Barry White, that was Barry White.
Oh, my. Stop that.
I saw these earlier today. So one I saw early this morning, I retweeted that. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was the Buffalo one. The NFL gets up in the morning and leaks all over itself the day of the schedule release, and they create their own leak because they say, here's who everybody who's playing and when on the first week of the season. So they said the Cardinals are going to play at the Titans. Titans are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm like you, Blaine. Some teams don't even know who the quarterback's going to be yet. And Vegas is like, no, man, here's the spread.
They already know. Yeah. Yeah. They got the Titans favored by 2 in this game, which really means, like, I'm not a gambler, so that really means they're going to lose by 1. Or is the home team getting 3 points is factored into that already?
Yeah. So Titans have got the Cardinals at home week 1. Malcolm Butler comes back. J.J. Watt comes back. DeAndre Hopkins, who they never seem to have an answer for, comes back. It's year 3 for Cliff Kingsbury. They were 8-8 last year. So this is, man, it's go time. They're drafting everybody for Kingsbury. He's gotten everything in the world resource-wise. Oh, and they got him dang DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, let alone they got that Rondale Moore. We could talk about he ain't played in the league, but when you ain't seen him yet, that's still tough. That's why I hate the first game is I wanted to be an opponent that I know the coordinator and I know the offense and I know the players. How about this? Guess what Hopkins is thinking right now? Who are the starting corners for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah.
Farley and Fulton. We could talk about Farley all they want to. But when you
Jack Rabbit.
Jack Rabbit. Yeah, well, Jack Rabbit ain't scaring nobody.
No.
He's not scaring Hopkins. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, no.
No, Hopkins, if they don't get him the ball in this game versus the corners that we have, regardless if they're good or not, he's going to be hot.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, hey, man, do you see the dude over there that's guarding me? He a rookie. You see that other guy? He only played 2 games. Hey. Just throw the ball there versus Jenkins. He can run with me, but he can't outjump me. Throw it. Yeah, so this is a tough game, the first game. Man, this will make you nervous, man. Kyler Murray, man, this guy, he runs around like he's on What's the show? That old show, people wouldn't even know the show.
Oh, Benny Hill's Yakety Sax, the Benny Hill show.
Yeah, that's how he runs around. Watch his feet. Like, dang, man, this guy's got the quickest feet at quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Then he just threw that Hail Mary. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
And the guy, oh, man, he just jumped over some people that all, but like half of them Pro Bowler and half of them, it's like full guys.
He's a handful, that little rascal.
That one there, man, that one's tough, man. They got a good running back. They building their defense. I mean, geez, wow. Oh, man, I do not like this first game. I'm already nervous. So that means I won't get sleep for a long time. That's so, what I would be looking at. How am I going to attack this dude?
100%.
Dude, how am I going to win more than I lose?
And you know he's going to get 10 targets because he gets 10 targets a game. I mean, he gets 10 targets.
Like, how about this? He's going to be like, hey, I know this field. I always dominate here. He's going to have visions of success the night before the game because he's always had success. Actually, I thought Malcolm Butler did a heck of a job against them last year here. I really did. And they still took him to overtime. The old wizard, Watson. Oh, by the way, is Watson going to be – they act like he's about to get out of this whole case and settle and then get traded.
Ooh.
That's how that seems like this is going down.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah, they can go. Yeah, he can go wherever he wants to. Just get out of here. Get out of Dodge.
Anywhere but H-Town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other leagues, I saw Mike Herndon had tweeted this. Week 2 at Seattle. So you get the Cardinals first and Seattle second was a league
in
him.
Oh, no.
At way. Seattle. Yeah.
Oh, hey, man. No way. I've been in that nice new dome. Oh, my gosh. That thing is loud. And you I don't want no parts of that one either. The Titans just got off on a rough sled in there, man.
I know. We're going tomorrow because we'll have it all. So we'll be like, uh-oh, start W or L. We'll have to play that game. You know, everybody will. Week 10 versus New Orleans. Could it be the Jameis Winston show? Week 12 at New England. Saw that one leaked. And then week 16. So the Buffalo game. Okay, week 6, Buffalo. I missed that one. Week 6 versus Buffalo, Monday Night Football. Leak to be here. That was a schedule leak earlier.
Oh, I know they came the other last year to us.
Yeah, I remember they had to get things moved around and the Titans didn't practice. Yeah, it was a Tuesday night game, I think. Then week 16 versus San Francisco on Thursday Night Football. So that's a couple of primetime games that have been leaked out earlier. And this has been Titans schedule leaks on Blade and Mickey.
Well, they're going to leak that schedule. I just hope we leaking some wins because, boy, that doesn't sound real good right there. With a lot of unknowns, man, that makes me nervous. But guess what? You know what makes me feel good? When I go get some barbecue, man, the John Buford, man, is my guy. The Insurance Boys Barbecue is where I get my rib from. Yes, I do. And they are good to the last drop. So that'll help me get over to the Titans play Arizona.
One of these nights, they're going to do the schedule release, and it's two nights. 3HL is going to talk about it next, and then Lucas, and then Will, and then the Titans radio crew at 7 o'clock. We got you covered. Stay here.